Let's put our hands for Jesus. Let's clap for Jesus. Thank you, choir. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I want to use this opportunity to thank the ministry team and Pastor Lal. Thank you so much for this privilege. Please, let's have our seats. Once again, please, let's put our hands together for the ministry team. It's not easy. At all, it's not easy. We all know it's not easy. It's not easy. Because even this morning when I tried to come and do this streaming alone, I know that this guy is starting something very, very spectacular. Praise God. Okay, so before we begin, I have a question for everyone here. So how many of us have prepared to come to church tomorrow morning? Like, you're already prepared now to come to church tomorrow morning. Just raise up your hand. Or to go to church, if you are going to another church, just raise up your hand. Okay. That's good. Okay, so this morning we'll be talking about something that I'm sure we have heard of multiple times. So we're talking about faith. Praise God. So we're talking about faith, and okay, let's quickly pray. In Jesus' name. Father Lord, as we are about to begin your word, we ask that you join us and be with us in the mighty name of Jesus, that you give us your own understanding. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay, so please let's open our Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Okay, so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's go down. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made out of things not seen, or which are visible made of things that were not visible. Praise God. Okay, so just as the Bible, we just read in the Bible, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And then faith is, I would like us to categorize it into two. So the faith in your mind and the faith in your heart. I don't know if we get it. So now, the faith that you have in your mind, I'll use the example of every one of us that has prepared to go to church tomorrow. You already know that you're going to church. You believe that you're going to church. But there are also, I don't know how to explain this, God. Okay, so there are people that have prepared things and, or people that aren't even sure they're going to go to church tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, so the analogy is, if you can believe that you're going to church tomorrow, that you're going to wake up tomorrow and go to church, why don't you believe for God providing you with the house, in your house? Is it like too big? Okay, so I wrote something here. Faith accompanies our knowledge of God's capabilities. So you believe what you believe based on what you know God can do. And by knowing what God can do, is you believe based on the reality of what God can do for you. So, for example, you believe that God is your healer. You believe that God is your savior. You believe that God is your provider. So when those realities come, when those things become realities to you, then that is faith. It is not just that I know God is my provider, but it's knowing that God is actually my provider and has become a reality to me. Praise God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Okay, so and then we need to work with our minds in a way that these things actually become realities to us. Because a lot of things happening depends on our faith. So faith is the fabric of how the world was created. So I even wrote it down here that faith is the currency of this world. It's not money. Praise God. So, and I will explain. So anything that anybody that you see up there is, they have one time believed that it can be there. I don't know how to explain this. So this world, we already, I'm sure we have been given examples of, if you put an idol down here and you believe that this idol can do miracles and you're worshiping the idol, demons will enter it and it will be working miracles. The first thing that comes first is belief. Praise God. So, the first thing that comes in anything that we are seeing right now is belief. So, sorry, this is just very few notes. So, we also know that without faith, no man can please God. Right? So, you hear the word of God, you have to believe it. And if you don't believe it, it's left to you. So you have a word of God in your life that you are going to be something. If you don't believe it, you are not going to be anything. It's just I don't know how to say, it's a norm. Praise God. So and then our soul buys into existence, our imagination's through faith. So anything that you imagine, praise God. I'm trying to make it very simple and very short course of time. Anything that you imagine, if you don't believe it can come to pass, it will not come to pass. Praise God. You have to believe. And a way that you can help yourself to believe, or how I do help myself to believe, is, so like the example I gave, tomorrow everyone is going to church. People have prepared their clothes that they want to wear to church tomorrow. Praise God. But they don't know that they'll be in church yet. Right? If you want to probably you want a new phone, go and buy a SIM card. Do you get what I'm saying? If you want a new phone, go and buy a SIM card. When I wanted to go into music production, the first thing that I asked for was a phone. I did not ask for a laptop first. Praise God. Because from phone, I can still make music. Praise God. And then I got a laptop. And then not just laptop, I got speakers. I got sound card. Praise God. So we always have faith, and you just expect it to happen without even preparing it first. Preparing for it. Praise God. You just, God, I want Benz. Can you even drive? ask yourself, like, can you even drive? You don't even know how to drive, but you want pins. Praise God. So we need to, I'm trying to simplify faith for us, because this is what I've been learning personally and I've been working with. This is what God, the season that I'm in, that God has put me in to train me. Praise God. So we are still speaking on faith on our minds. So we need to understand that God's blessing is for every one of us. Yeah? God wants the best for us. And then he has made preparations of these things for us. But if we don't believe, we cannot get it. Praise God. So, God has provided healing for you. If you don't believe that you are healed, you will not get it. Praise God. That's why I said faith is the currency of this world. Do you understand? So it's just like, God gave you guys tickets to enter a bus. Give everybody tickets to enter a bus. And you look at the tickets. The bus is going to probably Disneyland. To fly to Disneyland. So you guys can enjoy. And you look at the tickets. I'm like, what's this ticket? And you tear the tickets. You will not enter a bus. You will trek. It's just common logic. I'm trying to make it very simple for us to understand. Faith is that simple. Praise God. If you want something, first, prepare. Prepare for it. When you're prepared for it, that's like a first step to moving forward. Okay, let me quickly rush this up. And then fit by our hearts. So this one is, you're a Christian. Christianity is your faith, right? And then let's go to James. Praise God. James chapter 2. Thank you. Okay. Okay. So, because of time, I would just like us to go and read it at home. Because I wanted to read you a chapter about. Okay, so faith by heart is your Christianity, how you believe in God. And then in Hebrews, it was talking about how the patriarchs, Hebrews chapter 11 was talking about how the patriarchs had faith and all that. So just, please just kindly go and read it on James chapter 2 and Hebrews 11. And then one more thing that God has made me understand that I want us, everyone, to know is that, yes, after having faith, your preparation is key. If God wants to take you to high places and you're not prepared for it, I'm not sure this is going to happen. Praise God. So if God wants to take you somewhere, or you want to be somewhere, God has told you that he's going to put you somewhere. You have to walk more than those people that are there. God does not like mediocrity. Praise God. God never accepts mediocrity. So I'll use myself as an example. I said I want to be the best or top music producer in the world. I'm trying to walk times two, times three, that actually work now, so I can be there. Praise God. Because that's where my position is, right? So that's how we have to think. God is going to make provisions for us. He's going to put us in places, but we need to be prepared to be in those places, because it does not come to God. God likes the best. Even the devil likes the best. Praise God. The reason why the devil will not come for some people is because they are not the best. Praise God. It's because they are not the best too. The devil likes the best, and God too likes the best. So we should try and be the best. Praise God. And that's all I have to say. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Firstly, I want to thank Pastor Laudo and the ministry team, because I know it's not easy to preach. And this is my first time of preaching, so I know how it's like. Praise God. Let's close our eyes for prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for giving us another grace and another opportunity to come to your presence to hear your word. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray as we go into your word that you, Lord, will bless our hearts. We pray that your word will bless our hearts. Holy Spirit, take charge and take control. For in Jesus' mighty name I pray. So my topic for today is the love of God. Hallelujah. Can you tell someone God loves you? So in the book of John 3:16, we all know the Bible verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for our sin." Have you? "That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for us. We know that some of us, we are stubborn people. Like me now. I know I'm stubborn. But for God to give his only son to die for me so that I can have sins, it's a great love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This sacrifice not only brings us peace with God, it also brings us into a personal loving relationship with him. Let's open our Bible to Romans 5. Verse 1-5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And so we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also boast in tribulation." Hallelujah. "Knowing that tribulation produces patience, patience produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Hallelujah. The second one I would like to say is, this one I call it calling love. Hallelujah. Calling what? Let's open our Bible to 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may declare the goodness of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hallelujah. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Wow. Meaning that we are people for God's own possession, Abby, and we have direct access and fellowship with him. Praise God. Actually, my own definition of the love of God is the expression of his fatherhood to us. Praise God. The expression of what? His fatherhood to us. Because God is good. Okay, let me share this experience. Some of our friends that we know then or now, we can see that some of them, they are in the world. Abi? Some, even though we preach to them, that, oh, friend, come and give your life to Christ, they will tell you, oh, it's too late. Yes, I have some that they've done series of abortions. Praise God. Sometimes I'll be like, is it that God in all of these people? But we, before it's too late for us, he brought us into his light. Abi? Praise God. Let's go to... Okay, yes. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise God. He said he has what? Delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. That means before we were in darkness. Abi? Before he brought us into his what? Yes, into his light. Like me now before. Before I got saved. I'm very stubborn. Like then, I was very stubborn. I just imagine, God. So how did we, I'm not saved now. I don't know. Don't let me go there. But God is good. And all the time. So this inheritance includes salvation, strength, hope, peace, comfort, providence, and so much more. Praise God. So these are inheritance in God. So that's why as children of God, we have to stay in his love. Praise God. We have to what? We have to stay in his love, regardless of anything. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the problems or anything or trials, we have to what? Stay in his love. Praise God. God loves us so much. He loves us. Okay, let me say God loves me. God loves me. That is why he brought me into his light. I don't know about you. That is why he brought me into his light. So that I can be saved. Praise God. God's fatherhood. When we talk about God's fatherhood, in my own aspect, okay, let me share this. While I was growing up, where I stay, while growing up, there's nothing like I didn't experience love. So I don't know what they call love. Then I'll just be frowning my face. Because there is no love, praise God. You know, even though you come, you preach to my husband. Nobody showed me love. You know, there's like, I didn't experience fatherhood. Praise God. So that's why my own definition of the love of God is what? Expression of his what? Of his fatherhood. Praise God. So God brought me into his light so that I can be saved. Because now I'm experiencing his fatherhood. Abi? Praise God. Now I'm experiencing his what? His fatherhood. And I know you're also experiencing his fatherhood. God is good. And all the time. So God brought me into his light. No, praise God. Let me say this. Depression is real. As in depression is real. I'll just say the time God brought me into his light, as in before I got saved. Then I was so depressed. As in, I was so depressed that as if, God, why do you bring me to this world? Praise God. So as if nobody loves me. Just then if I come back from school, when I got home, just drop my bag, go and wash my school uniform, ready, go inside. In fact, then, no, then I'm still in the world. I don't know anything about Christ. So if not, you know, I would have carried my Bible. Even if I try carrying my Bible, I just open maybe Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll just close the back. I'll go and sleep. Then, you know, I don't have friends. Then. I don't have any friend. So I'm always indoor. Praise God. But now that God brought me into his light, now there's nothing like depression. Now I know that regardless of anything, regardless of my circumstance, regardless of anything that comes, God loves me. Praise God. There's this confidence that God loves me. No matter what. Praise God. No matter what, God loves me. Praise God. So how can we stay in his love? By reading our Bible daily. By praying. By coming to church. By bringing people to church. And that's how God, the devil will pay for it. Abi? Then I was depressed. I was like, this one that I accept Jesus. The devil, you are in trouble. Praise God. Also by faith. By bringing people to church. By coming to church. By reading our Bible daily and praying. Also by obedience to, yes, we have to obey people around us, people that are older, people in authority, like our pastors, we have to obey them. Praise God. Yeah. The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay. Okay. Can we just say this affirmation? You can just place your hand. Praise God. Thank you, God, that you are love. I didn't hear a voice. Thank you, God. Thank you for all the incredible ways that you love me. Please help me to stay in your love. Let's say it again. Thank you, God, that you are love. Thank you for all the incredible ways that you love me. Please help me to stay in your love. Let's say it for the third time. Thank you, God, that you are love. Thank you for all the incredible ways that you love me. Please help me to stay in your love. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, can we see that God loves us?
Yes.
Regardless of anything, God
loves me.
Regardless of our circumstances, God loves. Some of us are convinced. They loves me. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, regardless of anything, God loves us. Even when it doesn't look like it, he loves us. Some of us might be like, my mates are in the school. Me, I'm just at home. God, and I'm serving you. I'll go to church in the morning, the afternoon, the midnight. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm here to tell us that God loves us. Don't listen to what people are saying. Some people say, you go to church every Saturday. See, I've seen someone that challenged me. I say, if they come. See, it's not compulsory you go to church. It's not compulsory you go to church every Saturday. Sunday too. After Sunday is what? After Sunday is Sunday. Praise God. This, I think I shared it with Ebenezer. This person I'm saying is a Muslim. I was like, oh, well, I can't blame you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So God loves us, have we?
Yeah.
And we have to stay in his. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay. So
Okay, I also want to thank Dean's Ministry for giving me this opportunity. I do not take it for granted. Count it as a great privilege to speak to the people of God. All right, so let's quickly say a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for the words that we've heard today. Thank you for the word we're about to hear. And thank you for the word that we are going to hear after this. Thank you because you know that every one of them are going to bless us richly in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that our hearts are open to receive this word in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name, I'm afraid. All right. Okay, so let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 2. So I don't have a topic. But let's just, I believe the Lord will bless us. All right. So Romans chapter 2, verses 17. Okay, it says, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? 23, you who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physical uncircumcision if he fulfills the law? Judge you who, even with your written codes and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Okay, so I want to start from verse 25, but we are still going to go back to verse 17. So basically, from 25, it's talking about circumcision, and I believe that the basic knowledge, like English language, circumcision is the removal of the foreskin, right? So I would say it's the same thing for the, like in the spirit, but it is not for our flesh. It is actually for our heart. So it's just like when you give your life to Christ and then you begin to change, You begin to work on, you know, the Holy Ghost will work on your heart when you give your life to Christ and you receive him. He will work on your heart and then you become a changed person. Then we can say that the foreskin has been removed away, like the flesh has been taken away, and now you have the spirit of the Lord. Yeah. So he's saying that us being circumcised is from our heart, it's not by our flesh. And he was talking about the Jews and Gentiles from the previous verses before 25. He was saying that in verse 29, the latter part, he said that, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So basically, what I want to tell us today is that as people of God, that we should learn to live from her heart as a changed person. Yeah. We shouldn't live our life, yes, to please God. I mean, to please men, but rather to please God. Our life shouldn't be a make-believe that we are Christians, but it should be rather our way of life. I don't know if you are getting me. All right. Okay, so basically what I'm just trying to say is that as Christians, we should not live our life to please people, but rather to please God. You know, he's saying that, and as Christians, we shouldn't also condemn other people, because when we say I'm coming to church, I'm a Christian, all that, it is beyond that. Actually, it is beyond that. It is you doing what the Lord will have you do. It is beyond you just proclaiming with your mouth that I am a Christian. And that is how he was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and the circumcision of all that, because the Jews were circumcised, so they believed that they were in right standing with God. Because I'm a Christian, I believe that I'm in right standing with God. But he's even saying that even the Gentiles, that they are uncircumcised, as far as they are doing the things that pleases God, that in the sight of God, they are right before him. And if you check the previous chapter, we'll note that Okay, we will know that he says that. Okay. Let's just read 17. So maybe if I remember, I would go back to that, so we can put context to what we want to read. So he said, "Indeed, if you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind and to those who are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and in truth. You therefore would teach another. Do you not teach yourself?" So basically, he's just telling us, yes, now I remember. He's just telling us that we should, like, as we talk to others, we should beat our body and put them under check. You know, as we are saying that I'm a Christian, we shouldn't be quick to judge. Because I can say that, okay, maybe, for example, we are in church and maybe somebody that just is coming to church for the first time is wearing something indecent, and probably that happens to be the message of the day, and then we are saying, this message is not for me, and then we are quickly saying that it's for this person or that, and then we are judging the person. So he's telling us that, don't you even think that we should also put ourselves under check, that even in other areas, in other aspects, that we should also put ourselves under check. You know, we shouldn't live and judge others. We should put ourselves under check. And because of this, you know, because of the fact that the Jews, they believe so much that they were in right standing with God. So they were not doing, because they were circumcised, they believed so much that they were in right standing with God. They were not doing the will of God. And so because of them, the name of God was blasphemed among the Gentiles. So as Christians, we should always live our lives according to the way God will have us live. Because if we don't live the way God will have us live, then most definitely our friends that are not Christians, they will come and they'll say like, you that you call yourself a Christian, you are the one that is doing this. You are the one that is doing that. Which kind of Christian are you? So basically, I feel like this is just a call for us to put ourselves under check, you know, to make sure we don't judge and to do what God would have us to do, to act according to the act of God. Amen. I pray the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. All right, so I want us to look at the book of Ephesians. Okay, so before we read, so we said that we do not act according to please men, right? We said we act to please God. And one of the ways that we can please God is by working in love. Yeah, is by doing God's work the way we have us do it. That every work he gives unto us, even if it's through a man, that we do it as unto the Lord. We do it like it is God that gave us the responsibility. We do it like it is God that give us the work, and we do it diligently. We just do it with all our hearts. We love the people we are to love. No, we should love everyone. Actually, we love everyone. We do God's will, everything he wants us to do. Our life is in alignment with him. We follow every of his commandments. We do not just us saying with our mouth that we are Christians, but us actually living out the life that this is where I am, and being confident and bold enough to say is that even when the unbelievers see you, even when the Gentiles see you, they'll know that truly this one is of the Lord. This one is a child of God. This one is living the way God will have them live. And if God is saying that for someone that is uncircumcised, that if he does the things after God's heart, that is in right standing with God, how much more us, how much more we, that we are the children of God, that we should call ourselves to do the things of God. Because if someone that is not a child of God is doing, if someone that is not circumcised, if someone that like maybe has not really met with God, but in a sense is a good person, I think it's still right, it's still in right standing with God. Although the person has not given their life to Christ. But you know, there's a deposit of God in every one of us, which is our conscience. You know, when you do something bad, you know. So basically, it's like that for even unbelievers. When they do something bad, they know. And for people that they have good conscience, and when they know, and when they do something that is not well to speak of, they repent, and when they and they repent, and God thinks that they are in right standing with him. So how much more we that we are the children of God. So I believe this is just a call for us to sit up and then to do things the way God will have us do them. So yes, that's all I have.
Jesus' name, Father, we say thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the words that you brought. Thank you, Father, for today. Lord, I pray that at the end of today, you light up our hearts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. So my topic is called my testimony. All right, my topic. Oh, thank you. My topic today is my testimony. Oh, God is good. It's a story. So just tag along with me. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Laula and Pastor Reed for this opportunity and privilege to share the word of God. So it's my testimony I'm sharing. So just follow me, please. So I want to thank God for my salvation. I gave my life to Christ 2016. And then someone came to meet us like after a year. We were in secondary school. And he said, God says that you should bring your classmates to him.
I said, okay, no problem. It was Gift and I. And then there was this particular guy. I don't even know why. I just kept on talking to him. I think it was, if I had asked the question, that if you have a friend that is, you're trying to preach to that friend and he's an unbelieving person is still not choosing Christ, what do you do? And I had an answer there. I just didn't want to reply. What you do is that you run. Not run. No, sir. You pray. But then we didn't know better. We thought that, that I just had to just show this guy love. And I felt like I just took the work of the Holy Spirit. Like it was more like my responsibility and duty to like just get this person saved. And I want to thank God because it was God that saved me at the end of it. Because I could have gone actually. So I want to thank God for that. Just follow me with my story. It's not a story, it's a testimony. It's a word. Yeah. So for my business, yeah, Light Collection. So it was 2017. I was in a camp and a God spoke to me about my spoke to me about my business. And then I said, okay, that was 2017. Then fast forward to 2019, I started working. And then there was this customer. So he came and then got talking. So most time, because my office was at OPIC. And then this man lived in OPIC. So he usually just come past, how are you, buy something, go. Then he came one day and he was like, because I was just down and everything. I was like, okay, what's going on? I said, I'm thinking of my business. I want to start up my business, blah, blah, blah. And he said, all right, I'll give you the money, but we have to do a transaction. It's more like, I'll give you the money, give me what I want. Then I was thinking, okay, if I do this, nobody will actually know, but they'll give you the money and people just, this guy has done business, you see business, but then you don't even know the source of my income. But then part of me just felt like it wasn't right. Because I always want my testimony to be, it was God, it is God, and it's, yeah. And then, thank God that God gave me strength to say, no, I'll come back to that. Finally, for my school, 2019 earned in, God told me that my first sitting, I was going to go to school. I wrote job, passed at 2:11. Wrote my screening. I had 77 point something. People were like, "Why are you going to go to school? You're going to go to school. Last will give you admission." Didn't come. Okay, well then, but you know, I kept on praying, kept on having dreams. You see yourself getting the admission. You're shouting. You're waking up, and then nothing is happening. Last year, 2022, I wrote JAM. I picked OAU. I felt it was OAU. I passed my JAM, had 227. I passed my screening, waiting for admission. And then you hear people like, oh, bless. There was somebody that came to me and said, bless him. You're not growing any much younger. Why are you not in school? Don't go to school. It looks massive. I don't have plans for my life. And I said, only norms. I would have been very angry and responding in a very not so nice way. But then I'm not angry. And I just don't think of, because that word even affects me. Because I just had an idea of like, all God would have me be. But then I still kept on trying. I wrote JAM again this year. At 251, was my UTME this year, I did not pass this one. And then yeah, you still see people telling that, oh, your friends are in school, what of you? You don't want to go to school, what kind of rubbish talk? And then sometimes you just be thinking, what is it? And then they're annoying. No, I don't know if annoying, but then imagine praying for somebody and then you are praying, God is showing you like visions or dreams, and yet your friends are like going to school, you are praying for them, you are seeing the result. Now we see my own dream, it's not happening here. So it has not happened. But it will happen. So, when Pastor Lalo told me to preach, after I infiltrated, I just kept on saying I was going to share a testimony. And I was at the point, I was like, I just wanted to share a testimony, my testimony. I wanted to go have a meeting. I said, please, I want to share a testimony. But I'm just grateful for this privilege. And I just felt like this was what I have to share. So there are times, okay, I think it was this Saturday before infiltrate program, we were asked to share testimonies. And then most times, devil just keep on telling you that your testimony is not good. Because actually, I wanted to come here and share that, okay, I'm in school now. I started my business. My friend has gotten saved there. But then, it will happen. Definitely going to happen. But I don't want to be quiet and just remain ungrateful or just let the devil keep on telling me that you are not yet in school, nothing is happening in your life. It's not just about the school. I want to be grateful. And I don't know if there's actually anybody here that you're feeling like you're not making progress in your life, or you're just tired, or you're expecting something from God that has not yet come. It will definitely come. God has good desires for us. It's going to definitely come. God is going to show up for us. So we actually don't have to sit down and be quiet again. I'm glad I'm doing this now, because I know that in years, maybe not in years to come, hopefully next year, I'll come here again and say I'm in school. Hopefully next 2 years, my business will be global. Hopefully from years, some years to come, I'll come and say that. Hopefully for some years to come, I'll come and say that my friend has gotten saved. So let's read the scripture. James 1-4. All right. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This scripture is telling us that whenever we go through trials and tribulations, we should count it all joy. We should be grateful. So more like now, when you are going through a certain circumstances or something that's not just so nice, we should know that the end result, I think someone taught me something that most time when God brings a promise to you, maybe God tells you that you're going to be great. What is in our head normally is that we are going to be great. But then God is after the workings of our heart. More than the result, God is working in us. So God is producing faith in us, characters in us. We just want to see the results. But then God actually, there are patterns that God wants us to take us through. So that when we come out of it, we become testimonies. So that when we come out of it, we'll be able to share life and give life to people, give hope to people. So, I think that's the end of my testimony. I hope you were blessed.
Thank you, initiative. Support. Let's say, yeah. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that enlighten us this afternoon. Help us make use of all of this in Jesus' name.
So, my thing is worship. Matthew 6. Okay. Matthew 6. Okay. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Keep the Lord's prayer. Let's start from 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad face, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay stop there. Praise God. Okay. Our life is worship. Our lives is worship. Our life, every activity, every doing, meant to worship God. So, in this place, so we say that giving is a form of worship. Giving is a form of worship. Praying is a form of worship. Fasting is a form of worship. In fact, serving also is a form of worship. So these various forms of, these are various forms of, reverencing God, and our motives behind doing this matter a lot. Really, fasting is a means of worship. Praying is a means of worshiping God. Giving is a means of worshiping God. But what makes your worship, what makes it pleasing, what makes it acceptable is the motive behind it. Throughout this month, I'll fast and I'll break by 9 every day. So, I said that throughout this month, let me say next month, January, that's a good time to fast. Okay. From January 2nd, I'm going to fast from morning to 9 in the night throughout the remaining part of the month from Monday too. Now, fasting is good, actually. But the motive behind it is what qualifies the fast. Because now you might be fasting to prove that, I'm spiritual. Some people count spiritual maturity by the number of days they fast by week. Some people count spirituality by the house they pray in a day. Some people count spirituality, how mature they are by how much they give out. And then they'll be like, okay. And that giving is not as if it's now, it's not, that giving is not, it's not a giving that is comfortable. Just feel like, I must do this thing, it's a must. They see it as a must to do. Okay, today I must do this. Tomorrow I must do this thing. It's an everyday thing. So, they calculate their spirituality. Okay, I am mature since I am this. In a month, I fast 27 days. I'm mature. I pray 6 hours a day. I'm spiritually mature. What else do I do again? I've talked about that. Yeah, I pray. I pray without ceasing. I pray in the bus. I pray in the bus. I pray on the road. In the bedroom, I pray. In the kitchen, I pray. While cooking, I pray. I'm a man of prayer. So, that is the counter as a means of as a they count that as spiritual. And I meant to say today that God will not accept us worship. So it is worship. What God will accept is something done with him in background. And now, okay, I want to fast today. But should I fast? Don't fast. Okay, God, let me pray 30 minutes. Normally, it's important for us to pray. But there are times when the Holy Ghost will give us time. Okay. Don't pray. It's time. You have to do some of that. So, you know, when we are flexible, following the Holy Spirit, okay, today, yes, I will have you pray 30 minutes. Tomorrow morning, you can pray 1 hour. Your schedule is free. So, you know, by us being flexible, that is the kind of worship God will. God is not not impressed I took dry fasting 5 times this month. He's not impressed. There are people who never took dry fasting on their lives. And oh God. But yes. But you know, in God's presence, they are one of the most important people who walk the face of this earth. So you know, our fasting, the motive behind it should not be this one should ask me now. This one have you been fasting? I've been fasting since January. Now this is December. So you know, now seeing this and I'm seeing. But this is something that really happened. Had it been really good by showing me, I think he started showing me about 4 weeks ago. I was even afraid of even fasting. Yeah. So I'm like, wait, if I should do this thing now, to be like a slave, and to do this thing again. And to pray now. Don't pray. If I'm to. I'm like, if you have me pray, you wake me up by so-and-so time. My phone must be so-and-so percent. So I'll set like over three signs. So even though I see one, I'll be like, the main two did not work. Stop praying. No, seriously. Because you know, the motive behind this activity must be God. The motive behind it must be God. So, you know, anything outside of God being the motive, it is an abomination in the sight. So you may say that, okay, you know, I give to the poor, I send people to school, so many good things that we engage in. But when the motive is that, okay, people should hail me, that my name should be popular, yes, Joseph, he has done this, he has liberated Nigeria from poverty. He has fed the country. Susan, all those things. When the motive behind it is to make people know that this boy is working. That this boy is actually here. This boy is here. This is somebody that is here. This one that people have been neglecting. If that if that is the motive behind my action, in my doings, that is an abomination. I've just done activities. God may even know that I've done something. And So you know, this worship team kind of. In that. Because you know, really planning to fast is actually good. Okay, I'm going to fast so and so time. But when the motive is not like they are breaking by 3 and the breaking is by 7. So you know, breaking is by 3 and 6. And like, okay. Because people usually break by 6. my fasting will be by 6. I will break by 6. That is, that fasting becomes cancelled. So you choose a, so your reason for fasting is actually genuine. Okay, I want to pray to God. But the reason for you breaking by that 6 is because, okay, everybody really break by 6. Why should I break by 3? When you begin to measure your worship, other people worship, you end up bringing an abomination to God's side. So you know, because now this is actually something is that, like normally I'm this person that I don't care about that. I mean for breaking. Before June, I can break by 2, by 5. I'm not concerned by 3 or 6. You know, after June, I'm going to us August, September. So you know, like in my workplace, there's this person. So she's like, why are you always breaking by? Can't you be doing 3, 6? So you know, like so, at first I was, I don't care. But no, unconsciously, all these things. Unconsciously, one way or the other. So you know, and that August, September, my mindset is, boy, if you want to fast, break by 3, like 3 least, or you're not fast at all. August, downward. So you've not fasted at all if you break by 3. So your fasting should be. And sometimes God will let you walk in path. That you will learn. So you know. And truly, I know. So before then, I had anytime you go on this journey, we depend on self, on the strength of self. Really, self can do, but it's not pleasing God's sight. So you know, when we walk in this path of comparing our worship to other people's worship, we rely on self for strength. So you know, and I knew the kind of person I was before I got saved. Times when in the school I would just say, okay, today I'm not eating. I'll take my food money, I'll keep it. I was just, you know, the whole time like that, the whole time. I'll gather my food money. The whole time. I'll gather it. This term, I was able to save 6,000 naira for my food. I'll just take it and I'll use this for something pleasing to my life. Like, let me stand to buy things. Or let me stand to just buy beers or anything to buy. Just take the money, buy it. So, you know, I had this strength to hunger strike. Nobody will know that. So, you know, nobody know that this boy has gone on hunger strike. So, you know, I went on that path. You know, from that time, it became like that. I was fasting, depending on my human strength. So, no point, let me say, 4 weeks ago. Let me say, 3 weeks ago. So, you know, that particular day, that day was on a Thursday. And I was like, okay, today too, you are fasting. But I know that I didn't like took that fast that day. Our boss, I'm like, boy, you should take this fast today. Boss is waiting for you. So you know, I'm like, okay, God help me. So you know, at that point of surrender, that's when it began showing me. Okay, from this month, about 4 or 5 months ago, this is what you have been doing. So you know, since then, like, so he was showing me bit by bit. What he showed me last week was even from what he showed me 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, they were different, but they were still on this same matter of worship. You know, they really eat me. So you know, since then, I rather depend on those that have been fast. And things that I don't even know. I just thought, okay, today I want to eat. Just okay. No eating this morning. Fast. Okay. Problem. So, you know, depending on the Holy Ghost for everything, all of our activities, that will help our worship be acceptable. And then this worship is not just limited to our church, our service at home, where we relate to people, our engagement. So, even down to our finances, how we spend our money, how we, just our speech, also what we say, when everything we do are being backed up by God, when God gives consent to it, that is worship. Regardless of this, of whatever sphere and ourselves, be it in the church, wherever we might find us. Thank you.